So I ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So I lit the candles that we looked at last week in our walk through the Advent wreath. We spent time last week looking at hope and faith. And so this week we come to the third candle in the Advent wreath, and that is joy. It's also called the Shepherd's Candle because of the joy that we are about to read in God's Word as they heard the message that was brought to them. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Hear the Word of God. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue this celebration of the incarnation of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, we come today to think about joy around this Advent preparation. We see the message, the good news, and the subsequent joy. Father, I pray that you, by your Spirit and your Word, would bring about joy in our hearts today. Not a change of circumstances, not a change of situations, but a deep set internal joy as a result of this good news, as a result of this season in which we find ourselves, of Advent, of incarnation, of Christ coming into the world. Give us joy. Father, I ask you to do what only you can do, because only by your Spirit can you bring joy. We are living in a fallen world. We have fallen, sinful bodies. We look around us and we simply will not find joy. And you are the only one that can overcome that. And I pray you would do it. I pray you would do it this morning by your Word and your Spirit at work. Bring joy to these people whom you have sovereignly gathered here on this day. Help us now. We must have your help. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we looked last week at hope and faith. And we come this week to joy, or the shepherd's candle. So let me ask you the same question I asked you last week. Are you ready for Christmas? Now, some of you were here last week and some of you weren't. And some of you that weren't probably didn't hear the sermon from last week. So you don't get the full import of that question. Are you ready for Christmas? I'm not asking about travel plans, and I'm not asking about families, and I'm not asking about gifts, and I'm not asking about decorations. I am asking, my Christian friend, is your soul ready for Christmas? Hope and faith that we looked at last week. Or joy that we're about to look at this week. How would you, let me ask you this way. How would you, given a scale of 1 to 10 this morning, rate your joy? Do not say it out loud. How would you rate your joy this morning? I would love to have, Chuck and I have talked about this before, I would love to have one of those like click things where we could just start pulling up the numbers up here. I'd love to be able to see that. But I'm not going to ask you. But you, rate your joy. Are you joyous this morning? Do you have that joy, joy, joy down deep in your heart today? Are you a 5, about middle of the road like everybody else? 3, you had a crappy week and you're looking forward to another one of the same? 7, you were off last week? Hold on to that number, because my goal, what I told the folks this Wednesday night, is that there is some joyousness coming out of this place in a few minutes that was not here when it came in. That's my goal. I'm telling you straight up what I am aiming for is that your joy rating number will increase because of God and His Word. This message that we see here in Luke 2 as the angels come to the shepherds, they bring this message. Now, this message about Jesus Christ, which is God's glory in the gospel, should produce a joy in you, inside of you, that compels you to share it with others, both insiders and outsiders. Let me say that again. The message of Jesus Christ, This good news of the gospel, should produce within you, my Christian friend, a joy that is such that it compels you to share that joy and that message with other people. And when I say insiders and outsiders, I mean it compels you to share the good news of the joy that comes through Christ with someone that doesn't know Him, a family member that's unsaved, a co-worker that's unsaved. But it should also bring about a joy in you that compels you to share that joy of the good news of Christ with other brothers and sisters. This should be the conversation that takes place between brothers and sisters, this joy that comes from Christ, this message that we see in Luke 2. Now, I'm not talking about happiness. Here's how I would distinguish these two. Happiness is an emotion, a mere emotion. Joy is an emotion as well. Happiness is a mere emotion that is external to you. When something happens outside of you, around you, that you like, you respond in happiness. Election results come back that you like, you're happy. Election results come back that you don't like, not so happy. Your ball team wins, you're happy. Your child excels at school or sports, you're happy. They come home with a D, not so happy. Happiness is outside of you. And it's your response to it. That's not what I'm talking about. You probably heard this. This is probably a tired analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. So what does a thermometer do? It measures the temperature around it. And it goes up and down in response, right? A thermostat controls the environment around it totally different. Many of us, I'm afraid, and this is why I hope to move your joy, we operate more like the thermometer. If it's hot outside around me, then I'm hot. If it's cold, then I'm cold. If things are going my way, man, you want to be around me because I'm happy. If things aren't going my way, you want to avoid me at all costs. That is not the joy that we're talking about. The joy that we are talking about comes from this message of Christ, and it is internal to us, and it does not matter what is going on outside of us and around us. It doesn't affect this joy. And so I want to try to move our joy today because of this message. This message, and here's what I want to do. I want to trace this message in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. I want to trace the movement of this message. This message goes from the angels to the shepherds. And then this message goes from the shepherds to the parents, Joseph and Mary, and those that were around them. And then the last thing that, and just very briefly, is this message resonates even between the shepherds. So that's the direction we're going to go. We're going to just follow this message from the angels to the shepherds, from the shepherds to the parents, to Joseph and Mary. And then as the shepherds return, this message continues to resonate within them. And it is all about joy. And I hope this, you guys know I don't see very well, so I can see some of you. You know what? I would, a subjective measure of the effect of this preaching of God's word would be that some of you lose the look of sucking on dill pickles all morning. That's my goal. Is that some of you would move from your typical Sunday morning. That's my goal. Is that, and not because of me, because of the Word of God and this message. So let's look at it. Start with me again in verse 8. This message comes from the angels to the shepherds. So in the same region, these are stories you guys know very well. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear, which makes sense. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel, it's just been one angel up to this point, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is So I want you to notice what the angel brings to the shepherds. There's just this one angel. So I mean, this is a light display. I think I heard R.C. Sproul and ultimately maybe this week talk about this. This is the light display of all light displays. You can't match it by getting a lighted up Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on your roof. This is not the Barber County Fairground firework display. This is a massive display that he is going to see of angels revealing themselves, these spirit beings revealing themselves with the resplendent glory of God. And the shepherds are rightly afraid. But look at verse 10. This is just after the angel. And this angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold," here's why they don't need to fear. There's no punishment coming. This is not condemnation or retribution. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Good news of great joy. Now, depending on your translation, if you have an NIV, if you have the NET Bible, they, instead of translating it word for word, they interpret it a little bit for you. And you'll find in an NIV or in a NET Bible that it says the good news that brings great joy or that causes great joy. And I want you to see that because that's what's happening. The angel is telling these shepherds, "I am bringing a message to you, this message of good news, and the message The message of good news is going to lead to joy for all people. It's not going to lead to ambivalence. It's not going to lead to boredom. It is going to lead to great joy. This good news, and you guys know these words, this idea of good news. It's the Greek word from which we get evangel or evangelize. This is the good news. It is the good news of the gospel. It is the good news of what God is about to do for the salvation of sinners. And it leads to, it causes great joy. I want you to see that because we should have the same response. This message should lead to great joy. And that's why I joke with you guys about looking bored or looking sour. It should bring great joy. Regardless of what your week has been, regardless of what your week holds, it should still bring great joy. This message leads to, causes great joy that will be for all the people. This message with these shepherds, I want you to see this. It's external to them. The angel has made no change inside of these shepherds. Not yet. It is external coming to them, and it is revealed to them. They didn't find it on their own, did they? There's no record. Luke records nothing of the shepherds out being seeking God. No, they're just tending the flocks. And God reveals this message to them. And it is a message that is external to them, but ends up making an internal change in them. But notice, they're still shepherds, aren't they? They still have sheep. In fact, at the end of the account, they return back to their sheep. What's my point? The point is this. This changed none of their circumstances. You see that? The angel didn't come to them and say, I am the genie in the lamp, and I am here to make everything the way you want it to be. We are going to change your clothes to be whatever they want to be. We are going to get rid of all these sheep so you don't have to smell them and smell like them. We're going to change all your circumstances so you, my shepherd friends, can be happy. That's not what the angel does. The angel says, I have a message for you right where you are, doing right what you are doing. And this message is going to cause great joy. It's the message that brings it out. Now look at the message with me. We don't have time to spend a lot here, but just see what we get, just what Luke gives us. Unto you this day, verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Three titles and names given for this message is coming. And we could spend a lot of time here, but we won't. But let's start. He's the Savior. There is a Savior coming. There is someone coming who is going to rescue you. There is someone coming who is going to deliver you and set you free from the captivity that you are in. Now, implied in this is that the shepherds, like everyone else ever born, needs to be rescued because of their sin. This is not the rescue of Israel. That's where people got it wrong. This is not the rescue of the nation of Israel from Roman captivity. This is the rescue of fallen people from an eternal condemnation under God's wrath. And the angel tells the shepherds, there's a Savior coming. There's one coming to rescue you and deliver you. Have you ever thought about the fact that we innately know we need rescued? We love rescue stories. I said this a few weeks ago about the dog movie. But look at the popularity of all the Marvel movies over the last few years. What are they playing on? I mean, yeah, there's great theatrics and foul language and everything else that goes along with that. But what they're playing on is there's a hero. I mean, this goes back years to Superman and way back beyond. There's a hero. There is one who steps up and rescues those that are in need and need help. They play on that very theme and that very note because we know that. We know we need rescue. And these shepherds, we have no account of the shepherds saying, what do you mean a Savior? What do I need saved from? No, there's no response like that from the shepherds. There's a Savior coming. And so again, guys, this is good news. I just want to keep reminding you of that because you still look aggravated. And maybe that's just me. Just ignore me and just listen. There is a Savior. There is a Savior who came to rescue and save you. You were condemned before a holy God. You were not at peace with God. He was at war with you, and you were at war with Him. And had you died just moments before whatever time you came to saving faith in Christ, you would have spent eternity, all eternity, in hell, condemned, in the presence of God as He poured out His wrath on you that you deserve. You would have bit your tongue. The worm would never have died. It would have gone on forever. But praise God, someone rescued you. There's a Savior. There's a Savior. But not only that, he says, he goes on, just, I'm trying not to get hung up on these names. In the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title. It means Messiah. You'll see it if you have a Legacy Standard Bible or a Holman Christian Standard. They actually translate it as Messiah instead of Christ, which is just a Greek equivalent. But it means the one anointed by God. That's what the Christ is. The Christ is something like an office that God Himself has anointed. God has put His approval, if you will, on this one. He's not anointed by the elders of Israel. He's not anointed by the elders of Living Water Church. This Christ, this Messiah who is going to come, is the one that God has chosen to send into this world. He is Christ. And then he goes on in the last one. This is absolutely amazing. He is Christ, the what? The Lord. This is the word kurios. This is the King. I want you to get what the shepherds are hearing about this message. There's a Savior coming. There is one that is coming to rescue you from your sin and from God's wrath. There's a rescuer. And this one that's coming is the Christ. He is the one anointed by God to come into and accomplish this task. And oh, by the way, He's the Lord. He's no mere man. He's not another Judas Maccabeus. Oh, no, no, no. This one who's coming in is nothing short of the Lord Himself. God will provide Himself a rescue. This is the good news. This is the message that comes to these shepherds from the angel. Now that brings good joy. It brings great joy. Good news. It brings great joy. But it's the message. It's not a change in circumstances or people. It is this message that brings great joy. The message of rescue. The message of a Savior. The message that God Himself, who could have stood aloof after Adam and Eve and said, you know what? I gave him a shot. I'm done with him. He would have been perfectly right to do that. He would have been perfectly righteous to do that. But God Himself has anointed a Christ, a Messiah, to come into this world and save us. And not just some really good warrior, some really great king. Not another David. Oh, no. And not another Solomon. He is so far beyond David and Solomon. He's so far beyond Moses. This is one that only those guys could in some minuscule way point toward. No, this is the Lord Himself is coming to rescue you. He's not sending some inferior. This is not even Michael the Archangel. This is not Gabriel. It's the Lord. This is the message, beloved, that these shepherds hear. Outside, it's external to them. It doesn't change anything outside of them. But it brings great joy if you hear it and understand it rightly. And so the message, the first step, the message goes from the angel to the shepherds. Next step is this. The shepherds take the message to the parents. So look with me, beginning in verse 15. When the angels went away after they had the multitude of angels singing, we'll probably look at that text next week. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Let me hit that comma there. Let me back that up, because Mary and Joseph and the baby were not all lying in a manger. See, commas are important. Commas are important. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, pause, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, this message, this good news that's going to bring great joy, is now internal to these shepherds. And they act on it. So the message comes from the angel to the shepherds, but it doesn't stop there, because the shepherds act on it. The shepherds don't just go, okay, thanks, and then I got work to do. No, they act on it. This message impacts them. They're not left the same. There's a change. I mean, and notice, look at the language that Luke even uses. When you go back and look at verse 16. So they determine, let's go see this. Let's go see what these angels and this angel is telling us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, Luke likes this word haste. And you can turn with me if you want. Later on in Luke chapter 19, he uses this word again. And this is in the account of Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus? I'm not going to sing the song for you, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Luke uses it again in 5 and 6 of chapter 19. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry. That's the same word as translated haste. Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. So Luke likes this word to convey the speed and the hurry with which these shepherds did it. Now, why am I drawing that out to you? Because I want you to see this message. When it comes in, when these shepherds receive this message of good news from the angels, it changes them. It does something in them so that there's a compulsion now. There's a hurry. There's an urgency in them to go see this thing. They're not distracted by everything else around them. They're not distracted by continuing on the path. They have run into this good news message, and it has radically changed them, such that they make haste to go see it. And notice also it says when they got there, they found Mary and Joseph. Now, what is implied if something is found? Not that it was lost, but what was the person doing? They were looking for it. They were looking for it. So these shepherds, again, I just want you to see the impact that the message has on them. That they drop what they're doing with haste. They go to see this message, or see the results of this message that they have been given. They find them, and then what do? They make known. Look at verse 17. And when they saw it, the baby lying in the manger, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. The message came from the angels to them. It changed them. It made an impact, a deep, deep impact on them, such that they go to see it. And when they get there, what do? They make known the message to Mary and Joseph that they had heard. They go and tell Mary and Joseph, listen, this is what was told us about your baby. They make it known to them. And again, Luke uses this, and you don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 4, in verse 20, he uses the similar construction in making known. And listen to the compulsion that we hear. And I'm going to go back to verse 19. When Peter and John are arrested, and they're set before the authorities, and Peter and John answered them, that is the authorities, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And you notice it's the same language when you go back Luke chapter 2, this idea later on of speaking and making known what they have seen and heard. Here's what I want you to see is this message of good news that leads to and brings about good news had such an impact on these shepherds. They weren't blasé about it. They acted on it. They acted with haste. And they made it known when they went. So let me just ask you a couple questions just by way of application. Has this message made this kind of an impact on you that you have this haste to act on it and to make it known to someone else? Or is this just another message? I'm afraid that's what creeps into the church. We've got all these other messages that are screaming in our ears, whether it be politics or entertainment or work or whatever it is, that it just drowns out the message and we lose what these shepherds had. They heard the message and they went with haste. There's an urgency. Do you have an urgency? Do you have some sense of compulsion in you because of the message of what God has done for you in Christ? Is there some compulsion in you to act on that message? Is there some compulsion in you to make known that message to your brothers and sisters? Or to make known that message to the lost around you? That's the impact that the message has. Are you captured by it? That's what I think about when I look at these shepherds. That's the word that comes to my mind. They are just gripped. They are captured by this message. Such that they leave the job. They leave the hobbies. I've got to go see. Guys, we have got to go see this. They're gripped by it. Are you? Is the message of what God has done for you in Christ grip your heart? Especially this time of year. Are you like the shepherds ready to... I'm not concerned about decorations and food and all that. I am gripped by the fact that God Himself sent His Son into this world to join a human nature to Himself, to live in my place and die in my place so that I could be forgiven. Are you gripped by it? I hope. Because if you are, it is great news that will lead to great joy. If you want to have joy, my Christian friend, listen to me. If you want to have joy this Christmas season, instead of stress and anxiety and all the stuff that usually goes along with it, set those things aside and make haste, like the shepherds, be gripped by the message of Jesus Christ, and you will find joy. Because this message brings joy. Now, the last phase of our study, so the shepherds take this message, the angels to the shepherds to the parents and whoever was around them. And then finally, we just get one verse on the shepherds to each other. The shepherds to each other. And that's verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, reminiscent of Acts 4, as it had been told them. So they return back to their work, back to what they were doing, but they are rehearsing this good news back with everything that they've heard and seen and had been told them. They're rehearsing it amongst one another. We don't know how many shepherds there were. I don't know how many your nativity scene has. We don't know. But they're rehearsing this. They were at least actually there, right? Unlike the Magi. You guys get that joke, I hope. All right, about three of you got that joke. They weren't there. All right, they're in the nativity scene. They come 2 years later. I'll spoil it for you. So, but they are rehearsing this thing back and forth to one another. What they've heard and what they've seen, this good news of what God is doing, what God is going to rescue, that God is sending His this Savior, this Lord, this Christ into this fallen creation to rescue. They're bouncing it back and forth with one another. That's what He tells us in verse 20. And I thought about this, and maybe this was a cross-reference I picked up somewhere, but it's Malachi 3:16, the last book in your Old Testament, if you flip it. Listen to this, though. I think this might be an encouragement for us. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. I love that. And that's the end of the sentence. It's Malachi 3:16. The verse goes on. But that is the end of the sentence. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. Much like these shepherds. Those who feared the Lord spoke with one another of what they had seen and heard. Now, you do this. You do this. What you see and hear will eventually come out in your conversation. If your life is given to social media, it's going to come out in your conversation. Can I illustrate it for you? Hey, did you see on Facebook? And just put an ellipsis there. Because what you see and hear, what you see and what you hear is going to come out. Did you watch the game yesterday? I did it with Martin already. I said, Martin, I know you don't care, but Army won yesterday. What you see and hear is going to come out. So if you want to just evaluate your seeing and hearing, ask yourself what you talk about. What is coming in and being filtered and then eventually coming out. This is why I love, this is my little push. This is why I love Wednesday nights. And I told the Sunday school class this morning, and the elders and I have talked about this before. If someone held a gun to my head and said Living Water Church can have one service a week, one and one only, which one will it be? It would be Wednesday night. I love to preach, but it would be Wednesday night because this is what happens. We spend 45 minutes to an hour. This is what I've seen and heard this week. I was reading God's Word, and this is what I saw, and this is what I heard. And someone else can share that. Because what we see and what we hear, just like these shepherds, is coming out. What are you seeing, and what are you hearing? Especially this Christmas season, beloved. What are you seeing, and what are you hearing? What effect is it having on your relationship? Because that's the point of these shepherds, is they're coming back together, just like Malachi 3:16. They're speaking to one another. What are your conversations like this Advent Christmas season? Listen to what I read this morning about Christ. Look at the shepherds. I don't know. I don't know where you are with your Bible intake. But what you see and hear is going to work its way out. And if this message impacts you like it impacted the shepherds, maybe, your conversation with one another this week will be more about this message of good news. So let me kind of wrap it up with this. Do you have joy